I had a very interesting thing happen while I was praying just now. I'll talk about it during the sermon. By your power, Lord, by your power. Our scripture this morning is a strange one to use for the title of the sermon. I shouldn't say strange, it's an unusual one to use. It's not certainly the most common one that you would use for talking about being spiritually free. There's a lot of them that are a lot more common for talking about being about spiritual freedom. Spiritual freedom is throughout the Bible, and spiritual freedom is especially in the New Testament. And I will talk more about spiritual freedom and what that means as we get into the sermon more, but I do want to acknowledge that it's going to sound strange. When I read the scripture, you're going to probably think of other things, because you've heard this passage before. It is a common one. You're going to think of other things when I read it. But it is truly about spiritual freedom for all people, so that all people can live as one people in Christ. So we have from Galatians, Paul's letter to Galatians, Paul probably was the master of speaking on spiritual freedom. He had to learn it himself. He had to receive it. It's not something you necessarily learn. It's something that you receive within your heart. And you have to be vulnerable to do this. And it's scary to be vulnerable. But all of us have to do it if we're going to be good followers of Christ. Paul says, now, before faith came, we were imprisoned and guarded under the law, until faith would be revealed. Therefore, the law was our disciplinarian until Christ came, so that we might be justified by faith. But now that faith has come, we are no longer subject to a disciplinarian. For in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. As many of you as were baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ. There is no longer Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female, for all of you are one in Christ. And if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to the promise. Interesting little note there on the end. Abraham's offspring. Who else is Abraham's offspring? Who claims Abraham as their sovereign prophet and leader? Moses. Everybody gets scared. Everybody freak out. Or how about if you don't? Just for a minute, how about if you don't? At one time, we were all one in God. And we are now all one in Christ. Whether they claim it or not, we are. If they don't claim it for themselves, we can claim it for them on their behalf. We can live it. We still live it. Isn't it interesting that We would much rather live in small groups of like-minded individuals than to live what God actually wants us to live, one in Christ. It's just so much easier. Let's just all live, you know, a group of like-minded people. But you know, we're not doing that. I mean, there's a smaller group within this larger group that is not as like-minded. And we don't want to split off from anybody else because we're family and we're friends and we love each other. And why would we want to do that? This passage has been a passage for so long that it is used for talking about unity. We're talking about being one in Christ. No longer Jew nor Greek. At that time, you were one or the other. No longer slave nor free. That meant at the bottom of the scale of income, which meant none, or at the top. No longer male nor female. That meant ladies got just as much as the guys did. Sorry, guys. But it also meant that men were free from having to be always providing. That ladies could help. Could really be the helpmates that God created them to be. So it meant everybody. And so for a long time, this passage has been used just for that purpose. But I want you to think in terms of also the first part of this passage. Now, before faith came, law imprisoned and guarded us. It held us down. We lived by 613 laws. And everybody just loved that. That was just great, wasn't it? The good old days of living under 613 laws. Let's go back to that. Some days we feel like we are there, don't we? Judge, how many laws do we have now? 913.
A lot more than that.
There you go. And it's a fun time. And the judge has to know them all, and he has to make sure that we follow them all. And when we don't, he's got to slap us around. That's guarding. Why do we have to do that? Instead of doing that, why don't we all live in the freedom of Jesus Christ? If we lived in the freedom of Jesus Christ, I'd hate to say that the judge would be our business. I have a feeling the judge would be just fine with that because he secretly wants to go into ministry anyway, and so he could go into ministry. Spiritual freedom. If you honestly believe in Jesus Christ and you are freed by Christ, there is no freedom sweeter. No freedom sweeter than the freedom of Jesus Christ. There is no freedom better than the freedom of Jesus Christ. Gail Thurlow just took an enormous deep breath, and that's spiritual freedom. It's like taking wonderful cleansing deep breaths every moment of every day of your life and not being afraid anymore. Spiritual freedom is like Jesus coming into your life and letting you know that absolutely everything is going to be okay, including the fact that it's raining again, damn it. Oh, I'm sorry. Sorry. You take that deep, deep spiritual breath into you, and you know the power of Jesus. Power sets you free. There is not a power that is human that can do anything to you if you have Christ's power in you. I have had days here. I didn't know I was going to do this. Oh, Lord, please help me. I have had days here recently that were so bad. I didn't think I wanted to be here anymore. So bad. People have been cruel. Some of them are sitting in this room. Life has not been easy. And part of that has nothing to do with any of you. I felt totally alone. Not a person in this world cared anything about me. But Jesus Christ has given me spiritual freedom. And nobody can take that away from me. The government can't take it away from me. People who are spreading hatred in this world can't take it away from me. People who speak to me in ugly ways can't take it away from me. Nobody can take my precious Savior away from me. And I stand before you and I am fine. I have hard days just like you do. But if you will take on the spiritual freedom of Jesus Christ, that freedom will never, ever let you down. That's guaranteed. And it's the only guarantee that truly works. There are humans that are offering all kinds of guarantees out there, whether it's on your Chevrolet. I drive a Chevrolet, by the way. Whether it's on your Chevrolet, it's on your earrings, it's on your Nikes, or it's on your country. They're offering you guarantees they can't keep. The only one who can keep the guarantees of life are Jesus Christ. He's the only one who can hold you in your arms, in his arms forever, and never, ever, ever let you down. We're talking about a freedom. And we're going to talk about freedom again next week. Because next week is the Freedom Sunday before the 4th of July. But the freedom that we're talking about goes far beyond what our country's freedom is. Not that our country's ideal of freedom is bad. It's wonderful. But Christ's freedom is even better. And if you start with that, our country's freedom will be so much better than what we have. So for now, until next week, take on the freedom of Jesus Christ. Open up, be vulnerable enough. If I can stand here and share with you the innermost parts of myself and make myself vulnerable enough to tell you what is going on, can you not crack open your heart just a little bit and allow your Savior and your Lord in? He has so much more to offer than I do. Just let him get in there and free you. Let us pray. Almighty God, there are people here who need the positive sweetness of your Spirit in them right now. They need to be kicked out of the cycle of negativity. They need to know the great sweetness of spiritual freedom. Great God, if you can do it for me, you can do it for all of them and so many more. Let us as disciples draw together as one people, one spiritually free people. Amen. Our kind of invitation is we call ourselves disciples, number 357, and we're singing verses 1, 3, and 4.